The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Learning from the Legends. We sought the invaluable advice and top life lessons of some of our most iconic Black entrepreneurs, business titans who have paved the way for future generations. The path to success is seldom linear, and most of us would agree that achieving self-actualization requires diligence and sacrifice. Fortunately, we have blueprints from those who came before, entrepreneurs who have reached cherished goals and are willing to share their stories. Here are some key pieces of business advice from notable figures who have lifted as they have climbed. Robert F. Smith, founder of Vista Equity Partners. Generous of mind and spirit, Smith has earned a reputation as one of our era's most philanthropic self-made billionaires. The finance mogul not only freely shares with others his tips for success, but he passes along the best career advice he's received from his own mentors. Before I created Vista Equity Partners, I led Goldman Sachs tech mergers and acquisitions vertical, says Smith, while advising companies like Apple, Hewlett-Packard, eBay, and Yahoo, I saw how organizations approached similar problems differently rather than coalescing toward the most efficient processes. I realized that creating repeatable software systems and solutions could streamline and improve internal processes across companies, realizing ahead of the competition the massive ROI that software presented and the efficiencies gained from implementing best practices across software companies allowed me to be a first mover in tech and software investment and provided me a competitive advantage in building Vista. So look for opportunities to solve a problem, and preferably a problem that can be solved at scale. Second, Smith continues, find what you are naturally curious about and use that to learn as much as you can about the product, field, or industry. And find a mentor for guidance and support. Innovation, mastery, and mentorship provide an incredible combination to forge a new successful path as an entrepreneur. Sheila Johnson, co-founder of BET and CEO of Salamander Hotels and Resorts. After realizing her vision of co-launching Black Entertainment Television, BET, Johnson pivoted into solo entrepreneurship as the owner and CEO of Salamander Hotels and Resorts, a company she launched in 2005. Johnson has been candid about feeling overlooked and undervalued, and she offered insight into how she became her own boss. First of all, you really have to get out in the world and understand the way it's working. she stated in a 2024 interview with Forbes magazine. If you are not worldly and are watching other deals going down, try to assess what's worked, what hasn't worked. She added, you need to hone your instincts, and not only that, just don't keep it to yourself, but you bring advisors in and they will school you on whether a move is smart or it's not smart. Fawn Weaver, founder of Uncle Nearest. My journey has been deeply influenced by the Bible, Weaver says. Its wisdom has guided not only my entrepreneurial path, but my entire life. In the business world, many achieve success, but struggle to maintain balance in areas like family, friendship, and rest. That's why I turn to the Bible above all else. One of the greatest lessons I've learned, she continues, comes from the wisdom of King David in Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. David wasn't handed his kingdom. He was prepared for it through trials and seasons of waiting. Success doesn't come overnight. It's in those moments of waiting and refinement that we are truly shaped for our purpose. Often, the greatest strength we can have is the patience to wait for the right door to open and the wisdom to recognize it when it does. Similarly, the story of Joseph, Genesis 50:20, reminds me that even in adversity, God is always working on our behalf. The next article is titled, Tony on Top. Tony Braxton gets candid about grief, music, and renewal. Tony Braxton sits in her home, a picture of effortless elegance in a black turtleneck and sunglasses. She exudes a calm yet reserved energy as she takes a brief break from her sophomore Las Vegas residency, in which she's sharing the stage with comedian Cedric the Entertainer. While many artists find their sanctuary in the recording studio, for Braxton, a 7-time Grammy winner, there's nothing quite like the thrill of singing live. While her residency is not a new chapter, the audience evolution she has seen since her Vegas debut in 2006 brings a refreshing dynamicism. My fans are loyal, and I know my fans, but the youngest generation, the younger generation, they're just a little different, and I love them. The 57-year-old star muses. They keep you on your toes. They keep you young and fresh. I love that because I'm an old singer. I've been doing this since 1993. Braxton is undeniably one of the most influential voices in music, having established a benchmark for vocal ability and storytelling. Her distinctive sound, a potent, heartfelt vocal delivery with sophisticated arrangements, has not only defined her career, but has influenced countless artists across genres. Think Kelly Rowland's memorable impersonation on The Jennifer Hudson Show and Beyoncé's homage in her 2018 Halloween costume. Braxton is one of one. As the leading voice of the Braxton family, Tony has always been a trailblazer, setting the stage for her sisters with her signature contralto and daring sense of style. From her early days, topping the charts in the 90s with hits such as Love Shoulda Brought You Home, I Love Me Some Him, and the unforgettable Unbreak My Heart. She became the quintessential R&B diva, but it was her fearless fashion choices that cemented her status as a style icon. From her red carpet moments to her infamous pixie cut, Braxton's show-stopping has always been as memorable as her voice. Her iconic look has been widely emulated and celebrated. My own pixie cut was inspired by the legendary songstress. While musical styles may have evolved since the soulful R&B sounds of the 90s, Braxton remains as impactful as ever. Her music's elegance and depth resonates with the same intensity, making her work feel as fresh today as it did when she first landed on the charts. Indeed, the emotional ballads she created with her unmistakable lower register pipes have taken on a whole new meaning, with her music becoming a mirror that reflects the singer's personal life. As the eldest Braxton sibling, Toni has always carried the mantle of leadership and emotional responsibility, often viewed as a guiding force and a source of strength. She saw her older sister role become even more demanding after the devastating loss of Tracy Braxton, who passed away from esophageal cancer in 2022. Tracy's death was a deep blow. It heightened Toni's sense of duty to uphold the family's legacy and to be a pillar of support for her remaining siblings. Being the oldest, you have to play tough even when you're scared, she reflects now. So playing tough for me is what is normal. I was born to that. And I found that even while doing the TV reality series Braxton Family Values, we went to private grief management and grief therapy. It was helpful, but I wasn't ready to talk about it. I wasn't ready to divulge that vulnerability yet. As the oldest, I've learned to hide my feelings and be strong for everyone, she continues, but sometimes I don't know what the heck I'm doing, what I'm feeling. I just pretend that I do, and that's the best that I can give myself at the time. The family's grief was later laid bare on camera with their return to television in the revamped reality series, The Braxtons. Toni shares that the family's decision to participate in the show was driven by Tracy's wishes. Although they felt they had made their mark with their previous series, Tracy had encouraged them to revisit the show, hoping it would help the family reconnect during a difficult time. Braxton notes that losing a loved one can either bring people closer or drive them apart. And in their case, it created some strain. I think Tracy thought that doing the show together would pull us back together, she says. Maybe she saw something that we didn't see. Braxton recognizes that what was meant to bring them closer also highlighted their struggles. Navigating loss in the public eye hasn't been easy, especially with scrutiny and judgment amplified by social media. When you talk about grief, it's those moments that are gut-wrenching, and you're in the corner, and you're curled up, and you can't move your body, she says. It's just so heavy for you. You want to be honest and vulnerable, but you just can't do it. You don't want the world to see that side of you. Even as an entertainer, you don't want people to see that. For Braxton, that loss was especially profound and compounded by her own health battles, including her ongoing fight with lupus and the recent placement of a stent in her heart to prevent a potentially fatal heart attack. Braxton revealed that she'd always believed she would be the one to pass first due to her health issues, making Tracy's death even more difficult to fathom. She struggled with feelings of anger and confusion. Tracy's illness caught the family off guard despite their awareness of her condition. I thought, me with my lupus and my heart issues, I just thought that since I'm the oldest, it would have been me, Braxton says. So it was hard for me. It was difficult to understand. I was angry at everything, and it's still really hard for me to talk about it. Braxton pauses briefly, gathering her thoughts as she reflects on her own mortality. Grappling with her own close calls has only deepened her empathy for what Tracy must have endured. It's difficult because I want to be honest about it, she says, but I think of the moment where the doctors say, you are very lucky to be alive, Tony. I could have had a massive heart attack, something called the widow maker, and they caught it in the nick of time. I would have passed and had no warning with that. And then I think about my sister Tracy, how scared she must have been. And even when I think of my health issues, she adds contemplatively, I'm like, God spared me. And then sometimes I go, but why me? Despite her own narrow escape, the heartache of losing Tracy lingers, a constant reminder of life's unpredictability and the bond they shared. Behind the public facade, Braxton maintains the heartache she feels is palpable. As she sings in one of her own Billboard number one hits, Don't Leave Me in All This Pain, this is the first for us, Braxton explains. We're just trying to navigate our way through it and in it, but learning to live with a broken heart is challenging. I've heard people say it gets better. I don't know if it gets better. I just think you learn how to live with the pain. Amid this journey, Braxton has managed to find both peace and purpose. Whether she's performing on stage, spending quality time with her family, or enjoying moments with her sweetheart, whom she chooses not to name, but who brings light into her life. As she continues to seek balance and solace every day, she notes having love in her life has made this difficult time feel a little less hard. In these quiet reflections, Braxton remains deeply connected to Tracy. Little things often stir memories of her, like hummingbirds, Tracy's favorite symbol of hope. Her thing was hummingbirds. She had 5 hummingbirds on her back, and we were all a hummingbird, Braxton recalls with a soft smile. And since her departure, all I see are hummingbirds. And I feel like that's her way of talking to us. I know I like to feel that there's life after life. I think life is everlasting. It never ends. But I just miss her every day. As Braxton continues to embrace her personal and professional challenges with grace, she still believes that this chapter of her life is the best one yet. Toni Braxton not only honors her past, but forges a path of hope and renewal for the future. In her music and her life, she carries forward the legacy of love and remembrance. She turns each day into a celebration of both the joy and the memory of those who have shaped her. As for her family, the Braxtons will continue navigating their journey with the authenticity that she resonated with audiences for years, bringing their relatable struggles and triumphs into our living rooms. The Braxtons' journey is far from over, and their story promises to inspire and uplift. As the family keeps the spirit of loved ones alive in every step they take. The next article is titled, The Future of Work. Though the gig economy isn't perfect, many embrace its liberating flexibility. In the almost 5 years since the start of the global pandemic, the employment landscape has changed significantly. For many roles, being physically present is no longer a necessity, and the normalization of virtual connections means media professionals don't need to reside in major metro areas to network or file reports. Many, like me, are seizing the opportunity to escape elevated rents and high cost of living, thus stretching our income. And thank goodness, because neither Khadija James, living single, nor Carrie Bradshaw, Sex and the City, with a Brooklyn brownstone and a Manhattan flat, could sustain those lifestyles now. The shift extends beyond the digital nomad. As the future of work takes shape, platforms like Fiverr and TaskRabbit are evolving alongside it, connecting freelancers with a range of opportunities from design and marketing projects to IT jobs, furniture assembly tasks, and even gigs running errands for other people. According to a report from Upwork Research Institute, a part of Upwork, which connects businesses with independent professionals and agencies, nearly 64 million freelancers contributed $1.27 trillion to the U.S. economy in 2023. Aaron L. Thomas, Ph.D., Upwork's VP and Head of Diversity, Inclusion, and Belonging, offers practical insights on the trend. It used to be that a corporate 9-to-5 job was a market of stability and security, she says. We have seen, especially lately, that is no longer the case. People are realizing that there is a whole new paradigm and way to structure their lives. Deanne Atkinson, 37, is one who came to that realization when her husband was relocated to Sacramento, California in March 2023. Atkinson, a former Vegas blackjack dealer, seized the opportunity to transition to the gig economy, turning to Fiverr for support. I used the platform to build a client base for a career as a creator and spokesperson, she says. Today, she earns a living making videos, submitting reviews, and recording promotional voiceovers for clients like HelloFresh and Stars. And she says you couldn't pay her to click in to her old routine, as she's seen monthly earnings of about $10,000 this year. It's unlikely she'll ever need to. While the freelance marketplace is empowering workers to take control of their careers, corporate America is moving in the opposite direction. According to a resume builder survey, 90% of companies will be requiring some level of in-office presence by the end of 2024. For employees who have thrived while working remotely, the rigidity of office schedules and commutes, along with all their associated expenses, feels like tug of war. Some are refusing to engage. As Thomas aptly puts it, people want to fit work into their lives as opposed to work being their life. And with growing resistance to workplace initiatives that foster inclusivity, it's no surprise that Black and Hispanic workers represent the largest demographics among independent contractors using online gig platforms. Therapist Michael C. Thompson is one of them. I went into behavioral therapy to help people heal, he says. Yet in an office setting, I spent far too much time navigating identity politics and fighting for my own dignity. Now a solo practitioner operating remotely, Thompson is able to dedicate himself to the quality of care that inspired him to enter the field. For Black solopreneurs like Atkinson, Thompson, and many others, freedom and flexibility trump the old in-office work model any day of the week. The next article is titled Making the Season Bright. Members of Team Essence are excited to continue meaningful family customs. One of my fondest holiday traditions is holding a gift exchange with my family on Christmas Eve, but the real joy is making Rice Krispie treats. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I am Aver Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.